Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Welcome everyone to That Twin Mama Conversation Series, where I'm having different experts, celebrities, influencers every week to talk a little bit more about conversations, serious conversations and topics that you all have asked me. So today I have a very, very special guest, my hubby of almost, I'm not good with dates. You're way better with dates. we've been together long ass time, y'all. Grammy award winning musician, the best drummer, I'd say, in the world, but maybe I'm a little biased. Amazing father, video producer, my hubby Ryan.
Hey.
Hi.
What's up, everybody?
Hi.
Hi.
This is so funny. We don't normally do this, so like this is very interesting and new for us, but like this is gonna be just a raw, intimate conversation between the two of us. We didn't really plan what we were gonna say. We've asked like friends. I put it on my story literally hours ago just to see what questions folks wanted to ask of us, and we'll kind of take it from there. I feel like
anything for you, babe.
Oh my gosh, you're so sweet. So one of the main questions that everyone wants to know, especially if it's the first time, you don't make that many appearances, I feel like, on my page. I do have my dad characters, and I will say, yeah. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm a big fan of your dad character because it was starting to be a lot to always play the dad in all your videos. Like, oh, I got this idea. You got to be. And I'm like, you know, people follow you. They want to see you. They don't necessarily want to sign up for two different personalities. Yeah. It's funny to see you playing the different characters. I think you should have more characters, not just the husband. You kind of had the like Karen.
I did have a Karen. Videos. See, the funny thing is, like, the dad is not really based on you. It's just like based on a stereotypical dad.
Everyone see that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm acting. I'm a wonderful actor, so I feel like it's based on my acting skills. There's probably some truth in some things, but you are way better dad than the dad character I play.
Right.
But anyways, everyone wants to know, how do we meet? So I feel like I say this story a lot. Do you want to take the lead in that?
It was a long time ago, and we were playing a show in Reston.
Were you? Was it a show?
Or Herndon Day.
Okay.
And there was this, like, whole group of girls that we just, like, remember seeing you guys. You just definitely stood out out of your crew.
Yeah.
And I was very curious. But then, for whatever reason, I don't think we exchanged numbers there. We actually had a second gig that night. We had two shows that day. So we were playing again at some other spot that night. And I think I told you guys. And that's when you came to that one and actually ended up getting your number. But anyway, then, that's when the whole journey began.
I remember it differently because I didn't know about y'all. It was like a Herndon, like where we live is like there's a city festival, almost like a carnival. And we all were going to that. And there was this white boy band playing. I'd never dated white boys, just saying. And I thought you were mixed. I don't know why I did. It's because you knew about things. He had a little swag. And he was, I mean, I loved him.
The dreads, too.
And I think, like, he was just, like, locked in. Your eyes were, like, and I was just, like, whoa. But I kind of liked it.
I was very tan from working.
You were very tan.
Back in the day.
He knew things about, like, the kitchen. For y'all who don't know what that is, it's, like, the back of the hair of like a woman of color's hair. People don't know that. And so it was just, anyways,
it's not like I walked right up to you and said, hey, I know about the kitchen.
No, that would be completely weird and inappropriate. Red flagged away from that.
No.
And so then, we started.
You only found that out later.
So then, and then I went to college. We were friends for a while. And then we started dating and our whole journey began. And then Jackson happen in what, maybe 4 years into our relationship. And we didn't even get married until 2018.
You got it.
I got the dates, y'all. But yeah, our journey's like very not typical. And one of the reasons why we got married is because our son, Jackson, what do you say? He was just like, y'all ain't married.
Right.
We were just like, no. For a while, like, I wasn't sure if I believed in it. At the time, not everybody could get married. And so we just never did. And then fast forward, you like proposed to me in Hawaii. It was so romantic. You asked my dad for my hand in marriage. I was like, how traditional when we like literally already have a kid? It's fine. But he said yes.
I mean, your dad's a very nice guy, but I was like, I got to run this by him first. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But yeah, I think it was just, it was great. And then married for 2 years. Boom, bam. COVID twins.
Bit of a challenge.
Let's talk about that.
Well, twins on their own is a challenge. COVID on its own, right. Definitely a challenge. But both at once was kind of crazy. But at the same time, maybe blessing and a curse. Not a curse.
Dang.
But, no.
Don't be saying that. I got to edit that out. It's not a curse.
Not a blessing and a curse. But one of the things that ended up being one of the benefits, I guess, was that I usually would be on tour with the band, like pretty much constantly, like on and off or whatever. But we happened to have twins right in that like year and a half at least stretch where we just had no gigs, didn't go on tour. So I was here to help with everything. And you definitely needed a lot of help in the very beginning.
Yeah. Wait, let me back up a little bit. So like all of our kids were happy surprises. They just were. The twins especially were surprised because they were twins, but we weren't like necessarily trying or not. We weren't trying. We just weren't probably being like, I took my IUD out and like we were following a flow app or whatever app. I shouldn't down whatever the app, but the app didn't work. We were trying not to opt, whatever.
I don't think you need to say that. It's an app. I think we both knew in the back of our
mind. Yeah, it's like, an app.
It's like,
that you download from the app store. This is not connected to me at all. But anyways, happy surprises. Then, like, I think we found out right before COVID hit. And when COVID hit, like you said, blessing in disguise, like you were...
Much better term.
Yeah, that's what I think what you meant. That's what you meant. And you weren't touring as much, having the babies. So anyways, during COVID, if you were pregnant or had kids, you had to go to all your appointments by yourself. So he came the first one with me where we found out that there were twins and we were just silent. Like, and I think I dropped a couple F-bombs, like shut the F up.
Yeah, I don't remember being silent.
I was very polite. No, it was a hot, like big surprise.
It was a lot to take in. What do you call it?
The
sonogram?
Yeah, the sonogram.
Ultrasound? I don't know.
I think it's both. It's sonic.
She's just the on the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, so you're having twins?
Yeah. And like, literally, shut the F up. And I thought he had made like a joke because I used to always say, since our son at that point was 10, if we ever have kids again, I would just pull a Beyonce or a J-Lo and just bust out twins. And so I thought it was a joke. Then... that was the last appointment you were able to come with me to, like the last in-person one, until it was time for birth. And of course they let one person in, they let, you know, your husband in, but they don't let anybody else. So Jackson wasn't coming to visit, not my mom, not my in-laws, like it was just you. And for some of you that know, my birth story was a little bit traumatic where...
It was like 2 days of labor.
Yeah.
Right? Basically. Yeah. It seemed like we were in that
36
room
hours. 30, forever. 32 or 36 hours. Yeah, it seemed like we were forever. And I've carried full term. There were 38 weeks and 2 days. We were going to do a vaginal birth because I'd already had kids and I was a good candidate and I seemed pretty healthy. They just did not want to come. Like when you induce, I think any baby, but twins especially, I feel like I talked to a twin mom the other day. She's like, it took forever when we were induced.
Right.
So finally she breaks my water because they weren't coming. Like, and then finally it was just like, I feel the head and she's like, go time. Go through, twin A, Evergrace coming out, wailing and screaming. Easy, holding her. B's coming out, Shiloh, and she's breached, butt first. And it was kind of great. What were you feeling in that moment? I never really asked you.
Well, she couldn't get Shiloh turned around in there.
Yeah, they were trying to turn her. She was butt first. Yeah.
And then they got the male doctor came over. Yeah. He was like pushing
on your stomach.
No, it was like
just some random guy.
There's all these people observing.
Yeah, there's like 27 people when you give birth to twins, by the way. If even it's a vaginal birth, because in case something happens, just prepare for that. There's a bunch and people observe.
Yeah.
There was like 20 people.
It was in the like, it wasn't in just like the regular delivery room. It was the whole huge like operating theater. I don't even know what they call it. It's this giant room.
Yeah, and there's like scalpels.
People everywhere, all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
Because I guess they had to prepare for a C-section if it was needed.
Yeah.
If they, you know, so they had like, someone was over there cleaning all the knives and stuff. I was like, what?
Yeah, and they're like, don't worry about this.
So then the dude's pushing on your stomach. She finally gets her, and then she's like, okay, I guess decided to deliver a breach.
Yeah.
And then so she comes out, I guess, because she was like folded up, coming out butt first.
Like a yoga.
Her umbilical cord got like clamped shut for like 30 seconds or a minute or however long it was coming out. So she was like very like gray color, like not crying. And they had like definitely a sense of urgency for me to cut the umbilical cord. Like, okay, Dad, right now. And I'm like, cut. They took her over to the other little area.
Do you remember what I said to you? Remember, like when I
you're like, is she okay or something?
I just remember like, go follow her. Like I was like, because we had the one, and I was like, not knowing what was going on, but obviously I can't get up. But I remember being like,
I mean, you had bloody and crying on you, and like. It was just, there was a lot going on. And then she was over there and they were like scooping the liquid out and like doing whatever. And then it seemed like forever, but it wasn't very long actually until, you know, we heard her crying and they said, okay, she's okay. And it was a little mini heart attack.
Yeah, a little mini one for sure.
And she was fine. And
then the real stuff happened after that.
So,
Coming that was the easy part.
So coming out breached, what did it separate your pelvis?
Yeah, they like either separate it or they called it broken, but it just.
I think it's connected with cartilage. And I think the cartilage like ripped open.
I don't want to.
Or something. Yeah. TMI. But basically, you couldn't walk for like 2 weeks or something.
Well, yeah, it's like some point like the epidural runs out, and they're like, "All right, do things." And I think I still had like adrenaline because. At that point, I think I went to the bathroom. I like did things.
I mean, you could stand and like shuffle around,
but
like hunched over.
Right.
Like you weren't picking any kids up or walking or doing anything.
And the more the epidural, like I think, wore off, the more I was like, I can't move right now. So at this point, like you had to do everything.
So because of that.
And COVID.
We stayed in the hospital for like. Three more days
because I needed to recover. No, we stayed in for like 10. Wait, I don't know. We were there for like over a week.
Because
like
we had already been a few days.
Yeah.
To get ready and then
it was like 10
labor
days
for so
total.
Long.
Yeah.
And then, so then we were just living in that other room and I was doing everything for the twins and taking care of you.
We were all in diapers.
I had just three.
I love you.
Three women I was taking care of. And I just remember, like, sleeping on this terrible little, vinyl couch. And no one else could be there.
Right.
The nurses couldn't even take the girls.
Because of COVID, like, they don't... You know how you normally get a break in the hospital? Because they get to go to the nursery.
There's, like, the nursery,
And they, like, you get to
That's
sleep.
That's all shut down.
Like, none of that. The only thing they took them for was, like, maybe they bathed them.
Yeah.
And I think they took them,
one time
they bathed them and they took some vitals and they had to take them out for something. Right. I don't remember. Everything else was you.
And I remember at the end of the day, like my legs, my feet.
You weren't sleeping.
I felt like, I just did like a 12-hour shift or something. Like,
Yeah.
Oh, I remember like I would lay down and just be like dead.
I remember at some point, like it was towards the end, they weren't supposed to take them. So shout out, I'm not saying the hospital, but they ended up being like, came in and they just saw him and they saw me and I was probably like, you know what? We're gonna take them for just like a couple hours.
I remember that was huge.
Yeah. It felt like like you blinked.
We both just went right to sleep immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was a very,
and then even when we got back home, you still just... You weren't just magically
better. Oh, no, I was still on a walker.
It was still in the first couple weeks
Yeah.
of being home with the girls. I was still doing it.
Yeah. But I will say, like, that time, like, it was so, I mean, obviously challenging for a ton of different ways. Like, I'm physically unable to do things that I wanted to do. And you had to do things that, like, we couldn't even really share the load. But, like, seeing, I had to be so vulnerable and just, I had to let you do it all.
Right.
And, like, even if it would be you do something differently than I would have, I was just like, it's getting done and he's great. And it just, like, made me have so much respect and a little bit of, like, okay, we might got this, you know, like, when we get home, if this is how you're stepping up this way. And a ton of the questions that came in is like, how do you survive twins? Like, my husband is scrolling while I'm holding both girls. How do I not kill him? And I think, like, one of the biggest things, I'm not saying we got it because we're going to get into that. But, like, the fact that you are so hands-on and, like, that's just been huge. Even if I feel like it's in also me trying my best to like, relinquish control and let you do.
Right.
And let you be the dad that you would do. If you change the diaper differently or you do something differently, it's like, let me let you do that. Because at the end of the day, like, they're going to be fine and you're doing it great.
Right.
And it's good for me to allow a shared responsibility in roles that are normally, like, traditionally different, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I mean, I wasn't sure, you know, leading up to when they were born, I wasn't sure how, you know, it's kind of just like, let's just hold on and see how it goes and just figure it out as we go. But I definitely had some moments of like, how's this going to go?
Yeah.
And then when the whole delivery and then your situation, it was more just like, all right, I just got it. It was like, if I didn't do it, like, there was no...
There was literally no option. Yeah. There was no nerves. There was, like, no me.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean,
just
I could,
jump in.
Yeah.
Both feet, figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
You know, and in the beginning, I mean, even though there is two of them, they don't really do a whole lot. All they do is sleep, eat, and poop. So, in the beginning, it's like, you can kind of, as long as you got those things covered... Change the diapers, all that.
So you're saying in the beginning they didn't feel like... So what would you say is the biggest obstacle or the hardest part you think we've have to overcome as parents to twins so far?
In that initial... The beginning part, or everything? Well,
And actually, it's a follow-up. Have you resented me for anything? That was the two questions that we got.
No, but I could totally see people doing that. I think... Somebody said something about, like, labor division, or maybe
division
that wasn't
of labor.
Division of labor. Like, it's like, how do you, because everyone has different situations with their careers and home situation, and I think it's important to communicate with your partner about how you're going to kind of divide and conquer, or whatever your strategy is, you got to make sure that both people feel like they're like it's an equal partnership, because if one person's always feeling like they're doing everything, and, you know, that's when the resentment can start. But so for us, I mean, it's a little different because I'm, you know, with the band dynamic, I'm either gone for an extended period of time or I'm just home. It's like, whereas, like, someone, maybe if you had a more traditional type of career, you know, you're gone, you know, 9 to 5, whatever, home in the evening. So it's a little different for us, but I'd say, yeah, that's probably the biggest challenge, is like, you got communicating with your partner about, all right, who's gonna
do what?
What are your, because we kind of naturally fell into that with there's certain things that are kind of your world and there's certain things that are mine. And if you don't communicate and if you feel like it's not equal, then that's where the resentment can come.
100%. I feel like naturally I'm more of like, I wake up early. I just get them in the mornings.
Yeah,
I hear
true.
Them differently. Like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's something to be a mom, but I heard that women hear better, men see better.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something like, there's something natural about that. So I always get up early
because
I hear them immediately, where you might not hear them until they're really actually crying.
Screaming. Yeah.
And then at nighttime, I feel like you take the reins when you're home. Of like getting them ready for bed or whatever the case is. So it kind of works out. But yeah, definitely the division of labor is huge. I think also, we didn't talk about it. Luckily, we naturally fell into it pretty early on. I'd say like when the girls came home from the hospital, there wasn't a nursing feeding that you didn't help me with in the very beginning. So just because I'm the breastfeeding parent doesn't mean that I'm not getting up and you're helping, you're changing the diaper, you're bringing them each to me to get them situated. So it feels like a shared responsibility, even though it's technically something that I can only provide for them.
Right.
I really love that you helped me with that.
That's true.
You forgot all about that.
Change the diapers, get the pillow, get you all set up, get you some water.
Get me some water. Maybe a banana, sandwich, just help me out. That's totally something that I remember being super important. And I feel like if I didn't have that, so what I'll say, what was the hardest part so far? I didn't realize, and I think for a lot of women, you may not realize you're going through postpartum depression, anxiety. Mm-hmm. You just think this is your new normal, especially if you're a new mom, or especially if you're a first time mom, or maybe the first time you've carried twins, or you've taken a big gap in between like I did. So I didn't know, and I think postpartum anxiety and depression shows up differently. So for me, it a lot of times came up as anger. And I apologize to you now, because I think I didn't realize maybe how curt or lack of patience or just angry I would get over things that you didn't hear them crying. You would ask me, do you want me to get them? I'd be like, you know, it would be such a bigger reaction. Or I felt physical pain almost when they would cry. And I think maybe maybe dads feel that too, but for women, when you're physically attached to them, and that for me was breastfeeding. I didn't get over my postpartum depression or anxiety until I was done breastfeeding. That was just a trying time for me, and I felt a little bit more normal when I stopped. And that might be for everyone. Don't be scared of breastfeeding. If this is you're hearing this for the first time, don't. If you choose not to, that's your decision. I just think for me, that's how I felt. And that was such a hard time, because when you're in it, you don't know that you're in it. I didn't even know how to articulate to you that I'm feeling crazy and pissed and sad and my hormones are out of whack. And I could recognize the signs before, and we had a conversation about that. I think it would make that whole time maybe a little bit smoother. I mean, it wasn't bad.
But we also had the pandemic on top of it, which has its own anxiety and depression for everybody, no matter who you are.
That's so true.
Mix that in on top of it. I definitely had moments I play in a band for a living, and everything was canceled.
Yeah.
Everything shut down. So in my head, I'm I don't know what's going on with my career. I got twins, and there's definitely a lot of days where I'm, freaking out. In my head, like you said, you're kind of on the edge already.
Yeah.
And then the kids are crying or something. Yeah. It's really easy to just naturally, there was times where we probably weren't even mad at each other. Mm-hmm. We were just, there was just everything all going on, and it was something happened. Rah!
Yeah.
We might fight, but I think luckily we were able to kind of recognize when we were doing that, and we would always kind of talk about it and say, okay, we got to make sure. The beginning of the pandemic was different. It wasn't quite as daunting, but then as it got later in 2020 and into the first half of 21, it was a bit of a struggle.
And that's when the girls were they're less than 6 months at that point. I'm growing pregnant, and then it was like a snowball. But I do think, to your point, and it's inevitable to have the conflict with newborn babies, period. Right. Pandemic or not. It's inevitable to have conflict with your partner with just a pandemic.
Or just one baby.
But it's it's hard, I think, not to say it's an excuse, but now that I'm out of it, I can say if you were going through something, it took a back seat to me in my mind. Not like it was a competition, but I do feel and it was legitimate. I was physically, there's chemical, postpartum anxiety and depression there's something going on.
No,
hormones
are
completely. But that, I feel like you probably were going through a little bit of a depression too, with just maybe the pandemic.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm more vocal, even though I didn't know how to communicate it. But I feel like as dads, and you especially too, love you, but you hold it inside.
Yeah.
Do you feel that that's accurate?
Yeah. For sure. I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but there's a lot of days where in my head I'm just what is going on? This is crazy. Right. Like, this is not, I can't keep, you know, yeah. like on the, I was like on the edge a lot of days.
Would you recommend that? I mean, I feel like you've gotten better.
Recommend what?
Holding it inside.
No. Of course not. Like, no one wants to explode.
Off to Which the, like, you didn't. I will give you the, like, you know, to your defense, you didn't really explode ever. But I do feel like a lot of dads feel that they probably have to take backseat, which is partially true. But if you have, I think, the language ahead of time to for the mom to recognize, for the dad to even understand the signs.
That's true, because yeah. I'm, you know, I've never been great about, like, you know, sharing or being, like, super open about all that stuff. And I think, like you said, like, knowing the language or the terms and just, it makes, like, can make you, you know, more comfortable, and just knowing that it's, you know, everyone's, there's so many people going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone says, like, oh, you feel better about talking about it. But, I mean, it's easier for some people than others.
And it's hard to recognize when you're in it. Like,
but like you said, yeah. knowing the term, the terminology yeah. or the language, I think can definitely make it easier, because it can be, like, completely overwhelming. Like, I don't know how to, you know, express
right.
some of the stuff that I was feeling.
Right. Like, or you probably looked at me like I was crazy. Maybe, like... And had you known, maybe, like, we had the language or known signs, right. like, okay, she's doing this right now because this is really what's happening, and right. this is how I should address. Like, I'm not saying it's on you, but even me being able to recognize, I don't know.
Yeah, that's no, I recognize that it's easier to recognize it in other people. Oh. Like, there's times where okay. you're, I mean, like, there's times
it's where. It's easy to recognize when you're being crazy.
No, but where I recognize that you're, might be, you know, have a short fuse yeah. or you might be really irritable, and I understand, and like, you might be aiming it towards me
yeah.
but in my mind I'm like, I know she's not actually mad at me personally, it's more just like everything yes. and it's just coming in my direction, so I'd be like, alright, don't take it personally, she's, you know what I mean, there's a lot going on, you know.
That's so true, so, because you can't take it down on the kids, right? So right. a lot of times when you're in a situation when you're married and you have a newborn babies, one, right. two, three, however many, you're going to take it out on the person that's closest to you, that's an adult, that right. has a defense mechanism. You're not going to, like, why are you bubble crying?
But we talked about that, too. Yeah. And once we were, like, aware that, you know,
yeah.
we're kind of, like, looking out for, like, oh, we got to make sure not to, like, take my day mm-hmm. out on you.
100%.
Yeah.
And we definitely had that conversation. Someone asked, like, are we in couples therapy? And we kind of have been our own therapy, but I really wholeheartedly think that it's in COVID, we couldn't, we're going to find someone online. Like, it was, we could have. I think that couples should prioritize that. I think yeah. the tools would have been, like, everything would have come to our aha moments way faster. I think it's always great to have someone else that's a neutral party to see something for what it is, especially if they're medically.
We definitely could have used it.
We
and
definitely
thinking back, we probably should have.
Yeah.
Even if it was just like
yeah.
remote or online, whatever, like over Zoom or however, you know, I mean, I'm still open to
yeah.
it too. I think, like, I don't know. I mean, it takes, you have to constantly work at a marriage, especially
yeah.
with kids. It's not like you just figure everything out and you're set. Okay, yeah. everything's good. And then you can just,
yeah.
like, it takes constant, like, you gotta check in, make
yeah.
sure everything's cool, like maintenance. You
yeah,
can think about it.
It is.
As, like, you know, if you don't maintain it, something's
yeah.
gonna break down.
I love that, because I feel like, Michelle, not to quote Michelle Obama, the queen, but there was some interview that she did, and she stated how she didn't like her husband for, like, the first 10 years of marriage. I'm like,
right.
dang, how don't you, like, they're like a couple goals, and how do you not like, oh, like, Barack in my mind? But little kids are hard. And it's okay. You're going to have some days in your marriage where you don't necessarily like your partner.
Especially if your partner's not, you know,
yeah.
is not there. Like,
right.
you know what I'm saying? As I'm
right.
sure. I think she said that in that thing
right.
where he would just be gone.
That's
and she's
true.
Just stuck with the kids. Like, hey,
yeah.
I want to, like, do something. You know what I mean? But I'm stuck
wow.
because
yeah.
you're off doing something.
Me and Michelle are so
and
much
like,
alike.
I know, and I'm just like Obama,
you're just
because
so
I leave to go on tour, just like how he left to be president. No, but like,
no, but see,
but when one partner is like has
yeah.
to leave for work or whatever,
yeah,
you know, it's easy to
resentment definitely
so, yeah.
like built up in my book at some points, but I think the communication got us past that, and just how on point you were when you came back.
But and then now that's a new dynamic
yeah.
of like, now that I'm starting to tour more, things are opening back up.
Yeah.
It's a new challenge because where I was here nonstop for the first, you know, now it's like leaving again. It's tough leaving with twins.
Yeah.
And just doing it all by yourself. You left for like weekend that you were doing.
I went to go see my coach. Shout out to Amber Schiller.
I held it down. It was fine. But I was like, man, 3 weeks or a month would be
a lot.
A lot. So I know that's a lot on you when I leave. So whenever, like, I know, like, if I know I'm leaving, like, the whole time leading up to that, I'm, you know, doing everything.
Yes. He's leaving in 2 days from when we're recording this, not from when it's posted. And the car is clean. Like, you clean the car. You're about to cook a whole stew. Like,
I'm trying to do everything I can, just knowing that, like, it's going to be brutal.
I love that.
When I leave, and then when I get back, even though I'm tired from traveling, I know I got to, like, you're like, here, take the kids, you know?
Yeah.
But that's fine, because...
It is, but, yeah.
Because we had that with Jackson, but
that
he's
was young
the easiest
and
kid.
Yeah, he's the easiest
and
kid.
One.
And he's only one. I was young and sprightly, 23. I had the energy of the gods. Like, it was just different.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just... It's completely For different. Sure. And your first kid always tricks you, so...
Yeah.
Everyone remember that. I will say, though, the fact that you do so much, like, acts of service and words of affirmation, even you just saying that right now, like, I know it's a lot. Like, just feeling seen by your partner is huge. Once you take that for granted,
right,
that's when shit goes left, in my opinion. Like, if I see you do something, I need to remember to do this. Just thanking you, like, hey, I saw that you did this. You always do that for me. Like, he's more of the cleaner in our house. I shouldn't probably admit that. But when I, like, do more cleaning, he recognizes it immediately. He's like, oh, I noticed how you just did that. I'm like, yeah, thanks. But that's just, like, one of the natural responsibilities that you do more. But you recognize when I step up, I recognize when you do. And, like, making sure that doesn't go unnoticed or not taking lightly how those words of affirmation or just saying I see you on the daily can be so good for your relationship. It's huge because the lack of it, that's when the stuff starts building up and, like, you, then we're just not on the same page. And like you said, a marriage, it's like when people get to a bad, rough part, you can quit. I think that's why a lot of them, like, in divorce, but no one's marriage is easy the entire time. So you just have to choose every day, like you're watering a plant or you're choosing if you're training for a marathon. There's, like, you'll get through this stage. It's going to be hard as shit for a while.
Right.
But do you want to choose to make it through to... Is that person worth it to you? To make it to through it?
Right.
It's like, how much effort do you want to put in? That's real talk. That's how I feel. And some relationships are easier, I think, than others. But that's how I feel about it a little bit. And I just choose... I've never chosen not to be with you. I can't imagine.
Thanks.
Imagine doing that. I don't cry.
I'm kidding.
But really couldn't. Okay. Another question someone asked was... How do you make sure the love, we kind of touched on it, love and intimacy stays there at all when you have little kids? For me, I just talked about some words of affirmation as my love language. So you telling me that you see me, love me, I look pretty, is very important for me to want to be intimate in any way, shape, or form. Like, it's knowing that person's love language and choosing to, I think, communicate that.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the maintenance, like we were talking about, or whatever you want to call it, the work you put in.
Yeah.
However, whatever million analogies you come up with, like, and it used to just happen naturally, but there's such a time commitment, especially twins, everything.
Yeah, with kids, period.
Everything else going on, if you're not deliberate about, like, making time for your relationship, then... there won't be any. If you don't, like, plan whatever it is, date night or...
Date night is so important to me, y'all.
Now, we're lucky that my parents could take the...
Shout out Ellen and Pete.
Yes.
Ellen and Pete, if you're listening, we love you. Gosh, that's
just parents. We're super lucky to have them close by.
Yeah.
We
are very lucky.
Take the kids to be able to have some time. Because if you don't, it's just going to become... You just become roommates.
Right. Like, and it's become autopilot or something.
Child raising roommates.
Yeah. Child raising autopilot roommates.
Yeah.
And so. I do think, like, if someone doesn't have childcare, a relationship, doesn't have, like, if you have trusted friends, neighbors, or a church you go to, I would look at folks in the community. And if you don't have that and you have to stay in, I would suggest just having a night, once you put the kids down, free of phones, like make it a little bit more special.
Movie night. Whatever, yeah.
Uninterrupted quality time. And maybe whatever, not even movie night, just check in on you. Whatever you're into, but you can do that at home or try to, because the alone time is just so important. And it's going to change. Like your sex life, your intimacy, love would changes with kids. If anybody says they didn't, it doesn't, then like just show me who they are, because I completely can't imagine who. But it's, again, it's like what you want to put into it and like how you evolve with that change to make sure you're still choosing each other. And one, I can't wait till these kids are 18. We can just chill to whoever we want to do.
You're going to be a mess.
I know. Ever Grace is going to be a mess.
That's when you're going to start saying, I want to have more kids.
No. If, mark my words, on this day, on June 19th of 2023, I will not say I want more kids. I don't think. I don't know. Okay. Another question we got, which I really liked, was what has been your favorite thing about postpartum life? Or you're not postpartum, but just since the twins have been here. Do you have a favorite moment?
First of all, how long is postpartum? Does that like...
People have different definitions of it, and I think that's a valid question.
Is my mom still postpartum?
No, your mom, I don't think it's postpartum.
What's the time limit? Postpartum.
I mean, to be honest, like, okay, I speak a lot about it, but I've heard for some women, some people are like, it ends after a year. Some people say it's 2 years. Some people say it can go up to seven. For me, it's when you start to feel normal again. And for me, I didn't feel normal until I was done breastfeeding.
Okay.
More normal, when my hormones physically balanced out. For some women, that might look different. They might not even breastfeed and they still had postpartum anxiety and depression. I still say I have bouts of it. But yeah, for me, it's when you start kind of feeling a little bit more like yourself. But for you right now, it's like anywhere from now until like the twins, these first 2 years, 2.5 years. Favorite moment.
Well, I mean, they've never been more fun than they are right now.
I know.
They're 2.5.
They're so fun.
Talking. They're super cute. They're being silly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the beginning, you know, they're baby. You know, they're you know, adorable. They're little newborns and stuff. But
there's not
a lot of personality going on. So interacting with them is definitely the most fun in the age that they're at right now.
Yeah.
So far, I'd say.
I think I agree. Like, I think there's a lot of memes and, you know, videos about like how anybody said that newborns were the hardest. Like, people have their opinions. I think because our newborns were in COVID and they were twins. Like, take away my sleep. No. Like, I can't function like that. And you're physically tied. That was hard. Right. The hardest for me. So this era right now, yes, when they have their meltdowns. Do you remember yesterday? Like, when we were picking up. Gosh. Shiloh just has been having her meltdowns. I've been posting videos, but they sometimes just go. Like, there's nothing we even know that's wrong. It doesn't seem. And it's just meltdown for a good however long. So that part's not fun, but they're fun now to me. Like, overall. Like, they're just, you see their little personalities. They're saying funny things. Evergrace is obsessed with you, so I get why you would love this era, too. Because she is, like, your homie.
She's a stand
for dad. Okay, well, I think before we wrap up, if you had to give any advice for dads listening, because this is all about twins, dads in particular, postpartum, and how they can support or how it can affect your marriage, for the few, like the 2% of dads that follow me, what would you say to dads listening about advice who are expecting twins, have twins, they're young?
I think it's easy to get overwhelmed. Like, well, I personally, in the beginning, I mean, it was also exaggerated because of the pandemic, but just like finding out we're having twins, like then they're actually born. And like, we already talked about that whole, it was like a lot on at first. I was like completely, just like overwhelmed, like, you know, freaking out in my head, like, what am I going to do? You got twins now. How am I going to, you know, as a husband, as a dad, you're trying to, you know, you're thinking about like, I got to make sure I'm like, everything's taken care of and I can like provide and, you know, make sure, you know what I mean? Cause I think there's a reputation with, and a lot of it is deserved with twins or obviously any multiples more than twins, even more so. But there is that kind of like, maybe it's just amongst guys where you're just like, oh my god, you got twins, dude, your life's over. Or there's like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh,
dudes do
you
be got doing
twins,
that.
Like,
yeah,
right. So I had this in my head, like,
even with
how
marriages.
Am I gonna survive this? You know, in a way, but you kind of just, I think my advice would be just like, you got to prioritize first, right? You can't get overwhelmed thinking about every single little thing. Like, oh, college and all this. There's a million things, you know. If you think about all that, you'll just be completely overwhelmed. So I'd say just put your head down.
Yeah.
Just get through. You got to just survive the day, first of all.
Yeah.
And if you can survive, just get through the main priorities of that day. And if there's stuff you can do to prepare for the future when you have time, you got to, you know, do as much of that as you can. But just try not to, like, you don't have to, like, solve every problem on the first day. You just get through, you know, make sure they're fed.
Yeah.
And you got the roof keep over their head. And just keep them alive.
Yeah.
And just, you know, you just put your head down and you just plow through day after day. And then before I knew it, you know, I kind of got the hang of, like, changing diapers all the time or the crazy sleep schedule. Remember, we were, like, I would, like, I'd be up from, like, 2 to, like, 4 in the morning, and I would feed them.
That's a division
with,
of labor,
like,
that
two
we made.
Bottles.
Yeah.
I'd be holding both bottles like this.
So he could take one of the feedings.
You know, and at first I was like, this is crazy, but it didn't take long. You kind of get the hang of that, and then you can introduce the new thing. As they get older, you know, it becomes more dynamic, and you just kind of take it as, you figure it out as you go. I mean, I don't know. That's not really great advice.
No, that is perfect.
Just one day at a time, I guess, is my advice.
I think...
take it one day. Just don't get overwhelmed.
I think that something you're not even realizing that you're doing, which is, like, why I love you so much, is because you're... When I ask, you have a perspective of what it's like to care hands-on for your kids, where I think some of the women that follow me have been like, my husband asks me what I did all day. Comes home and is just like, you're just a stay-at-home mom. Like, how is not all this done? So the fact that you're like, when I say, what's your advice to dads? And your advice immediately goes to, like, hands-on things. It's like, ugh.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Like, and that, I think, it, like, without,
but,
you said
but
it without
everybody's
saying
different.
It.
There might be some dads that's not their thing, or maybe it can become that.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you have twins.
Yeah, it kind of has to be your thing when you're outnumbered, or, like, it's, yeah.
But yeah, not everybody's the same. There's some people, you know, that
not,
it just depends, and the dynamic you have with your partner, you know what I mean? If somebody is just the breadwinner and they're hands off, and that's the dynamic you guys have, and you can make that work, then...
I agree to disagree, because the fact that you have empathy, I think, for what it is like to care. Like, you won't ever, I guess, know what it's like to breastfeed, or there's only so many things that you can do, but you're not a clueless dad. And if I were to leave you a whole week and you're not calling me every 3 minutes, like, what do I do here? What's this? How do I do that? And if moms were not a stay-at-home mom, or if a dad wasn't a stay-at-home dad, you would pay someone to do that. So just because someone, I think, is a breadwinner doesn't mean, like, I think that holds value, but I think just having empathy for your partner, whatever it is.
That's true.
Like, if they're bringing money in, you acknowledge that. That's great.
Right.
But also they should in turn...
acknowledge them.
Yeah. That's how I think.
I mean, yeah. If you're just an asshole, then it's not going to
work. It's not
going to
work out.
But, like,
you.
I guess that dynamic... I mean, everybody's different. So you got to make it work the best way for you. But no matter what your situation is, or what your level of, like, involvement is, it can be overwhelming. Just that responsibility.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
No matter what... you're like, so it's different for everybody, and there is going to be that, like, holy shit,
what am I doing? Yeah.
And then you just got to, you know, just get through day to day.
And I think for us too, if people were asking a piece of advice that I would give, is like, I fell in love with you partially because you're funny. You're kind of funny. You make me laugh. I find myself to be funny too.
Sometimes.
But for us, like, trying to make, I mean, it's hard sometimes, but we would, like, sometimes you just have to laugh because it's so wild, or getting back to who you all are. Like, one of the people asked, like, how would your friends describe you as a couple? I'm like, pre or post kids. But I do think we've kind of maintained, I would describe us as, we dance and we vibe. Like, you want us at your wedding. Do you not want us at your wedding? I mean, I'm just saying, we are going to shut down the dance floor. We are going to have fun. And we're going to laugh at stuff. So finding those moments, because you can lose yourself with all the chaos of kids, but trying to find moments to remember that, I think.
We do have fun at weddings.
We do have fun at weddings. Cha-cha slide, Cupid shuffle, boom, bam.
Nice, yeah.
But yeah, and I think just to like close this out, something you said about taking one day at a time, not getting too overwhelmed, but the fact that you're so hands-on, which allows me to leave or do things that I need to do for myself, whether that's go to a yoga class or go on errands by myself or go meet my life coach somewhere and go to a comedy show in New York, which I recently did. Yeah. Shout out to fellow twin mama Michelle Buteau.
Or sit there and edit videos.
Or sit there and edit videos, which is not for the week. I have a whole conversation with other mom content creators because it's a grind. It is a grind. It is not as easy.
Yeah.
As some people may think.
You put in work.
I appreciate
your acknowledgement constantly.
But all to say, whether you have whatever it takes to fill your cup as a mom, your partner helping and facilitate that is huge. Don't feel guilty about that. And I love you for not making me feel guilty when I need that. And I need a break. I need a girl's trip. I need whatever. So I also just like appreciate that you, I think it's a priority.
I should have said this too, because I guess that advice was more just for the dad or whatever specifically. But more importantly, I think even in that is communicating. And I know it sounds cliche. Everybody's like, oh, you got to communicate. But like, if you really have some kind of feeling or some kind of whatever your relationship is or your dynamic with the kids, if there is something that you're unhappy with or something that's not working for you and you just like keep it bottled up and you don't talk about it with your partner,
that's how murders happen.
But that's how the resentment builds. Right. That's how everything just blows up and you get in a huge fight. Like, don't be afraid to talk about like, if you're a dad and you're feeling completely overwhelmed about having twins, talk it out, because a lot of times it's not as hard as you might think it is in your head.
Yeah. You know? And I think the way you talk about it, and I'm a victim, I'm guilty of this, not a victim, but sometimes let's say you are on your phone or doing something and I need you, I'd be like, are you going to, like, it's passive aggressive. Like, say what you mean what you say. Your words hold power. So I'm totally guilty of this. I'll be like, oh, do you not hear them crying? Oh, do you want to blah, blah, blah? Are you going to blah, 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 blah? Are you going to get, like, it's obviously a rhetorical question, but that's, like, going to generate the opposite effect. Yeah. And it's going to make you not want to do it as much or just be annoyed by the way I communicate. So I think we are not perfect. But I think we're learning.
I think we need to watch this.
Okay, shut up.
We need to watch this.
We need to
take some of our
own advice.
Yeah, for sure.
But I love you. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
Love you too.
And thank you all for listening. And till next time.
Peace.